If people in the back can't hear, you can talk again there. If people in the back can't hear, just let me know. We good, Zadie? This room is real. First, Bershus, Rabbi Meiri, the head of the Gazeda. Mommy listens to this also, Zadie? Bershus, Imi Marasi.
He's my reading everything you say.
Bershus, Imi Marasi, yeah, it works. And the Rav Shalema to Yisrael Eliezer Ben Chayadina, the Swiss Rav Shalema. Let's just jump right into the sugya. This is a sugya called Chatei. We're coming off, this is the Shulchan Aruch Sivvav. The Mishnah Berurah speaks about it in Sifkat Mem. Let's give a little background of the sugya. First, let's start with the question. On Shabbos day, someone was walking around their kitchen, and by mistake, they turned on the kumkum. Microphone's better. Let's try it. Bissarl usually uses the microphone. Ah, and works. Wait, do you just leave it like this? Testing. Works. Oh, everyone can hear now. Okay. Someone's walking around their kitchen Shabbos this morning, and they by mistake turned on the kumkum. What should they do now? The options are leave it on and do tshuva, or can they turn it off immediately? So this is the sugya we're going to be talking about now. Is there any room, or is there maybe a chiyuv, that what they should do immediately is turn it off to prevent the water from being mevashal, and prevent themselves from doing an iser b'shaygeg of bishul? So let's get into the sugya of chatei, and we'll get back to this question and see how it's applicable. Chatei, it's the Gemara really starts with what we don't say. Ain't no. We don't tell a person to do an avera, even a smaller avera, to prevent his friend from doing a larger avera. Why don't we? Because we don't tell a person to do an avera. Ah, you're preventing your friend from doing a larger avera. Oh, so we paskin, and it's brought down over here. This is what the Mishnah Berurah says. Because your friend was poishaya, so that's his business. I don't have to save someone that was poshaya if it's going to cost me to do an avera. If it's not going to cost me anything, and there's nothing wrong about it. So someone was poshaya, try to help Yidden. But if he was poshaya, and the only way for me to save him from a bigger avera is to do a smaller avera, ein imrim la'odom chatei. We don't tell a person, do an avera, b'shvil sheyizka chavercha. What's included in poshaya? The Mishnah Berurah brings down over here, Kimet Shachaver, Posha v'Masha Hidvik. The case was talking about that he was Poshea, that he took the dough and he put it onto the side of the Tana. That's Pshia. Zok the Shayatina, what happens if he is Shaygeg? So he brings down from the Magen Avraham Shem Taisvis, even Shaygeg is called Poshea. Why? Davle Lizar, Shalayova Lizar. Gam Shoygeg is Me'en Poshea Klapi these Dinim. Obviously, there's different halachas, Poshea, Shoygeg, Mezit. They're all different categories. Klapi the Dinim of Chatei, we say it was irresponsible. And the Shoygeg is also irresponsible because he should have been careful. So if someone did a Shoygeg, and he's going to come out to be doing a Deraisa, even though I could save him right now by doing the Rabbanim, which is what we're talking about, the person put the Isa on the Taner. It didn't bake yet. Kol's mana didn't bake, you could save him from doing the Isser Deraisa Vafia. But you have to do a Maisa Derabanan to take it off. Either a Maisa Radias Apas, which is a Malacha Derabanan, or a Maisa Derabanan. Or even if there's no problem with Radias Apas, we're talking about Muktza. Okay, there's a question why you can't figure out how to do it Muktza Beheter. There are ways to do it within the Sugis of Muktza. Maybe you could do Tiltal Begufay. So if you could figure out a creative way to do muksa without being over hilchas muksa, you're supposed to do that. You're mechuyev to do that. You're going to save your friend. But if you can't figure out a way how to save your friend without doing an issa d'rabbanan, we say ein oimrim ladim chatei b'shul sheyizka chavercha. Why? Because the chaver was poshea. Poshea includes shaygig. If he wasn't poshea, It's not discussed over here. But in the end of Siman Shin Vav, did the Olim learn Shin Vav? Where are we at? Where are we in the beginning? In the end of Shin Vav, there was a case of Oynis. The case that Shulchan Aruch was talking about over there is that, a child was captured and they were going to take him or her, I forgot exactly the case, the child, and they were going to take them away to become a goy, shmad. So that was obviously a case of Oynis. And the case of Oynis, halacha is that you're mechuyiv to do a diraisa, to go save the person from you're doing a mitzvah kaul to save from a mitzvah chamura. What's a mitzvah, from a aveira chamura? What's a aveira chamura? To live an entire life as not a yid is an aveira chamura, klape, doing a diraisa on Shabbos. What's the diraisa on Shabbos? It says, get on your horse, go out of the tchum, go do it, get the kid back. You're doing a lot of diraisas? Yeah, but they're all for one Shabbos. And what you're doing, you're saving a child from being a goy in their entire life. So you're saving from a avera chamura, which means many, many years of not being a yid. And since it was a matzav of oynis, you're allowed to do an avera kala to save from avera chamura. So avera kala in this case is diraisas, breaking Shabbos on diraisas, to save from avera chamura for living a life as a goy. That's over there. This is the end of Siman Shin Vav, the Shulchan Aruch. And then the Shulchan Aruch deals, the Mishnah Berurah over there deals with the case in the middle. What about if it wasn't an oynis? We're talking about a teenager. They were being married. It was a form of pesheya, and the child was going to go away to be a goy. Child, well, let's talk about a teenager. And that was the case that it was a pesheya. So over there, even though normally in our sugya we say that you're not allowed to do an oynis, you're not allowed to do an avera kal to save if someone's pesheya. But over there, the Mishnah Berurah talks about on a derabbanan, to do a malacha derabbanan, you'd be allowed to do. Why? He said, because over here we're dealing with a really avera chamura. He says, at least let's be saimach on Taisvis. The Shart Sion over there says, at least let's be saimach on one of the terutzim of Taisvis. Whenever you're dealing with an avera, whenever you're dealing with a mitzvah rabbah, and a mitzvah rabbah is to save a yid from shmad, then you'd be allowed to do even a malacha deraisa. We don't hold of that. But the Zakta Mishnah Berurah, at least for avera derabbanan, we should be saimach on. Bekitzer, this is all a little bit off the page, but it's good to know. Let's line it up. If someone is an oynis, you're allowed to do an avera kala to save him from an avera chamura. Then you have to start getting into what the avera kala is and what avera chamura is. Avera kala in our sugya is doing a derabbanan to prevent a deraisa. In the sugya of Siman Shin Vav, it's doing a deraisa to prevent an entire life. So it's avera kala to prevent avera chamura. If the person is poshea, so then we say you can't do anything. You don't even do an avera derabbanan. We said over here, do not do radias apas to save the person from a deraisa. However, in Siman Shin Vav, when what you're saving them from is huge, you're saving them from a life to give them Yiddishkeit, bechlal. That then you could do a derabbanan, you could be samech on the Taisvis over there. Fine. Getting back to Aris Sugya, this is all about telling one person to do an avera for another person. What about for the person themselves? Do we tell a person do a smaller avera so you shouldn't do a bigger avera? That's our sugya. It says yes. Zok the Shulchan Aruch from Nasnei B'Shabbos, Afilu B'Meizit, Mamish did it B'Meizit. He took Isan. He was going to Mamisha the Iver, Afia the Reisa. Mutar Loi Lirdois. He's allowed to do an Isad Rabbanon to save himself. Kaidim Shayefe. Why? Kadesh Le Yavoi Lidei Isar Skila. He shouldn't become to an Isar Skila. Lav Dafka Skila. We were asking that even Loi Lavi Dei Chatas. What's pshat? Why do we tell a person that you should do an avera kal to save yourself from an avera chamura? Well, the pasha pshat is we're not telling him to do an avera. We're telling him to minimize his other avera. See, when you're telling one person to avera for another person, so you're doing an avera. Why? To save him. Here, what you're not you're downgrading your other action. I guess you look at it as a net. You know, they have a deraisa hanging out over here, and then they could do a derabbanan. So, and as a whole, So they're taking down their deraisa to a derabanan. So what is their action doing? They're doing a tikkun, not a kilkul. That's a pashtus. Why don't you say that one person is saving a chaveri? And why do you say kol yisrael areim zelazeh? So good, it's a good sugya. When do we say kol yisrael areim zelazeh? When do we say chatei v'shvil shiris? When are people all looked at as one, and when are we individuals, and whose responsibility is what? That's a sugya of kol yisrael areim. That's not for here. Bekitzer, you tell a person to do an avera to save himself from a larger avera. So before we get back to our question with the kumkum, which sounds like a case to apply this, I want to deal a little bit with the Shulvan Rav Shlomo Zalman. They use this a lot in Kiruv. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva regarding Lifnei Iver. The case he was dealing with, there's halacha, you're not allowed to give a person food if you know he's not going to make a bracha. Why? Lifnei Iver. You're putting food in front of him and he's being Iver, an Isser of a Gzeila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Isserim of eating without a bracha. Dr. Shlomo Zalman, let's say you could be mitakin with giving this person food, you could be makar of him. Well, we'll get to his exact case in a moment, just first to say where we're going. Let's say you could be makar of the person. So maybe I should give him food. This is a good thing. I'm giving him food, and I'm being makar of him. I'm going to bring him closer to Torah. On the other hand, we say, Ein adam ladam, we don't tell a person to do chatei b'shvil sheyizkor chavercha. So should I be over lifnei iver on having him eat without a bracha because it's good for him? That's what Shlomo Zalman asks. So he comes out, he says lifnei iver is very different. Lifnei iver is not defined by me, it's really defined by the other person. If for the other person it's good, then it's not lifnei iver. If the other person is bad, then it is lifnei iver. So let's first figure out what is good for him. Now, let me deal with it. You know, let's just go with Shlomo Zalman's case so we don't have to be so vague. He was talking about there was a big supporter of the yeshiva. I'm not sure exactly what yeshiva or kohel, but there was a big supporter coming in to the Rosh Yeshiva. And the supporter was not from and never made brachas. And the question was, can the Rosh Yeshiva give him something to eat? Right now he's a supporter of the yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva was afraid that if he didn't give him food to eat, he's going to be pagay in his kavod. And if he's going to be pagay in his kavod, he's going to turn him off, he's not going to support the yeshiva anymore. Yeah, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, and it was a case where you couldn't do it in a nice way. Obviously, if you could figure out a nice way, machta bruche, you know, if you could figure out a way to encourage the person to make a bracha in a beautiful way, kol kavod. He's talking about a way that you couldn't say anything. So what should the Rosh Yeshiva do? On one hand, if he's going to give this person food, he's over lifnei iver, and the person's going to be eating without a bracha. On the other hand, if he doesn't give him food, he's going to turn him into a seinei teira, seinei Yisrael, seinei lamdeha, and that's the end of... So forget the money for a moment. You're turning a person into a seinei teira v'lamdeha. That's how Shlomo Zalman writes the two sides. So what should he do? Should I be duchatei on my lifnei iver so he shouldn't be a seinei teira? Or no? Ein adam ladam chatei b'shvil sheyizkor chavercha. Zokim Shlomo Zalman, this has nothing to do with chatei. When you're dealing with lifnei iver, let's decide on what the person himself is supposed to be doing. The other person. This big nodiv. Is he supposed to be eating the food without a bracha? These are his choices. He could eat the food without a bracha, or he could become a seinei teira v'lamdeha. It's a very interesting choice, but this is his choice in front of him. The other person, why is this a choice? This is the metzius we're dealing with right now. He could either eat the food without a bracha and still be oivs teira v'lamdeha and support it, or he could not eat the food and turn into a seinei Yisrael. Which should he do himself? That's what Shlomo Zalman turned around the question. What should the person himself do? Assuming these are his only two options. You're wondering why these are his only two options? This is where he's holding. So the person himself, it's kind of obvious, in order to continue being a Oyev Yisrael, and who knows what will be in the future, he should eat without a bracha. So, am I giving him bad advice by giving him food? Lifnei Iver means, Lifnei Iver is a form of, Lifnei Iver, Eitz Hashem Agenus, it means it's bad advice. Am I giving this person bad advice by saying, here, eat this and don't make a bracha? I didn't say it so verbally, but let's say I say that. Is that bad advice? Or is that good advice? So with all Lifnei Iver, Shlomo Zalman is saying, you look, at, you just isolate it, is this advice good or bad? And that depends on the other person. So if the other person, it's good for him to continue eating without a bracha, it's hard to say, but these are the options. It's good for him to continue eating without a bracha, to remain an Oyev Yisrael, an Oyev Torah. So then the proper thing for him to do is to eat without a bracha, and a meal, I don't have a Lifnei Iver, because my Lifnei Iver is defined by him. Anyone have a problem with this, you say? Yes.
I'm going to resent Yiddishkeit by, you know, Pesach was really hard for me, so I'm going to resent Yiddishkeit for the rest of my life. So, I'm going to do whatever I want.
We're going to get to that. The short answer is yes. The longer answer is I'm denying your question because the way you're asking it, no, you're being very sarcastic and cynical, so I'll say go jump in the lake. Pretty much.
Okay, not me.
No, but yeah, so we'll get to it. So, the concept is true. But then sometimes we're not just going to allow a person to say, mitzvahs are hard for me, I'm going to turn to a son of Yisrael. It's not true. He's a son of Yisrael already, and it's not going to help him one way or the other, so I can't give him food. So it depends. If it's not real, then yeah, Yoiv Lifnei Iver, Mises, and we'll explain the shikul is very hard. Let's get into the shikul. The concept is okay. The shikul, what he's asking right now is the shikul sometimes will come that you could be over kolaberes chamuris, so you shouldn't turn into an angry, resentful person. Okay, good.
Where's the chiyuv of crossing the
mikshol? What?
Where's the chiyuv of crossing the mikshol? Are you supposed to?
Is this a mikshol? Am I causing him a stumbling block, or am I helping him? Eitz Hashem Neges means, is this bad advice, and I'm causing him to stumble and fall? Or is this good advice, and I'm causing him to stay in the game? And maybe one day. No. Lifnei Iver means I'm causing someone to fall. I'm giving bad advice. Maybe. He's coming to give money to the kohel. You're right. But you're right. Each thing is a shikul. What you're saying is the same thing. Sometimes it's a shikul. I shouldn't invite him for no reason at all. If he already had and ready this, you know, that means everything's aligned. You're right. Within the shikul, do I have to invite him? Do I have to this? Or... Right now, he loves Torah and he loves Avreichim, and he's coming to give money to the Avreichim.
Because I invited him to a Suda, I am now paying to the Matzah for him to Israel by
being. I'm encouraging him to be an Oyev Yisrael. That's what I'm doing. Come, be involved over here, be this. Yeah, here's some food, here's Geshmak. You're making a Matzah for him. And he mamish loves the Reichim, he comes around, he smiles, this and that. You're going to be pegeh with him. If you tell him to make a bracha now, maybe one day he'll see it. Maybe an innocent kid will tell him that. You know, and tell him to make a bracha. Adults listen to kids when they say things innocently. But if another adult tells him, then that's judging already. Because, I don't know, keep him in the game.
The shahada was before or after he was invited?
Either. That's what he... Shalom Eishiv, I forgot your name. Rivaren. That's what he's addressing. He could. So again, this is all part of the question, all part of the shikul. We're not talking about that it's b'di'evit already. We're talking about, is this a good thing? Whether it is that he's already here to give him food, is it a good thing to invite him into this place, into this scenario, even though he's going to be eating without a bracha, which is going to be the classic case of Kiruv? When you're inviting people into Kiruv, they're not, they're, you know, when you're talking about Kiruv Rechaikim, they're coming in, they're not making brachas. Some aren't. Okay. You know, let's jump into Kiruv. Well, let's talk about, let's make the case a little bit more complicated. Besides eating, the classic Shaila they always have out there, anyone doing Kiruv Rechaikim, if you give an invite for Shabbos to someone, there's a good chance they're going to drive to your house. Are you allowed to invite someone knowing that he's going to drive to your house? So, malacha d'oraisa. Combustion engine. Okay, if you're using an electric car, it's a malacha d'rabbanan. If you hold electricity, it's a rabbanan. So, is this lifnei iver? So, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, we have to see, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Inviting this person for Shabbos, is this good for him? Or is this neutral? If it's neutral, we don't have to say it's bad. If it's neutral for him, so it's bad, then I'm causing him, I'm part of his Chilul Shabbos. If it's, let's say it a different way, if this is not his next step in Yiddishkeit, then this is just, oh, okay, it's fun, nice, you're being polite. So then it's an avera. He's not gaining anything out of it. He's doing an avera. He's driving. He's driving anyway. Good, yeah. So I don't have to be part of it. I don't have to be the Messiah, the Lifnei Iver. We'll see in a moment the Ramesh's Mises. So we really have to... What?
He's coming with his car. I don't get food in the rain. I can choose in the rain. It's like a loser.
Listen. It's not grandma. It's called, I'm encouraging him to drive. Listen, if he lives a block away or two blocks away, then that's his choice. I didn't tell him to drive. If I know a guy lives 2 miles away, and I said, come for Shabbos, I'm telling him to drive. That's what I'm doing. It's not the exact words. That you see, if you're talking about the Amir La'akum, so then we have a Muslim and figuring out how to get around. Here, in the end of the day, I just invited someone for Shabbos, and I know, I know, that means, entails him driving. So I'm encouraging that, and I know all that, and he knows I know all that. But Mela, that's all. I'm part of this situation. So the question lies on, is this good for this person or not? So it starts getting very tricky. Is it good for someone to come for Shabbos? Does a person need Shabbos to be Makarev? Do you need Shabbos? So, Rav Berkowitz always says, this is a shikul that you have to make. There's a difference between a shot in the dark, that's his phrase. Maybe Shabbos is what needs to trigger this person to get to a different level. Maybe it's a shot in the dark. So that's not enough. He says you have to reasonably be mishayer that what this person needs for his next step in Yiddishkeit is a Shabbos. It's not so mugzam. There are a lot of people that they've just never seen Shabbos, and you know them, you felt them, you know, you had enough of a short-term relationship with them to knowing that their next step, they really need to see what a Shabbos is. Not just turning off their phones and turning off, you know, and disconnecting, and not just all that. Let's see what a Shabbos table is, see what a family is. Why can't we do that on Matzah Shabbos? If you can. No. If you can do that on Matzah Shabbos, then you mechuyev too. But if you can't tell the difference between a Matzah Shabbos and a Shabbos, maybe you can come drive to my house. You can. The answer is true. If it's just about being polite. Or like, let's say that we're talking about Rav Shlomo Zalman's case, that it's about that if you don't invite him, you're in a neighborhood, and if you never invite this person, you're going to turn him into a Sinai Torah. So yeah, why in the world are you inviting him for Shabbos? Invite him for Matzah Shabbos. Invite him for Sunday brunch, Sunday lunch, something else. You're right, 100% right. If that's not what he needs, and what you're trying to do is be polite, and that can, he's not going anywhere. You know the guy, he's not going anywhere. But I have to be polite, otherwise I don't want to hate Yiddishkeit, or hate Yidin. In the Chanamit. You have to invite him for Sunday. But if you talk a Mishayer in a person that you see, he's on his way, and if he just sees what Shabbos is, he sees what a Shabbos table is, he's going to be further. So then it's a good Eitzah for him to drive on Shabbos. Why? Because this is the case. He should be Mechal one Shabbos with the D'oraisa to be able to be Shomer many more Shabbosim for the rest of his life. Right. That's why that's part of the difference between a shot in the dark and a reasonable estimation that this will get him to be Shomer Shabbos in the future. We'll get him closer to Hashem. And that's a different goal within Kiruv, what we're trying to bring the person. To be a Shem Shabbos, Shem Torah Mitzvahs, all of them, trying to get them to a little bit closer. That's a strategic. What? It depends how great you yeah. No? You don't have to really be sure about that. We're not really sure about anything. That's good advice. Anytime you give advice, are we sure about anything? Let's say, you're Pesach. This person comes over to you. This Friar Yid comes over to you and says, Pesach Harav, I was invited for Shabbos. It could change my life, but I have to drive there. There's no way I could do it. I think it's going to change my life. I'm not sure, but I think it's going to change my life. You're giving him advice to remain a goy for the rest of his life? He might become a yid. We're going to call that a suffix in and suffix might be levade. Okay, what's this? Whenever we have advice, this is the sugya of Chatei Mishvil Sheyizke. If you're asking, you have to know the Vadois. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen to them. No, she's not. Yeah, but you know, what are they going to do? Who knows what's going to happen to them? I think the more correct answer is why are you assuming that the Chil Shabbos is Vaday? For Pikuach Nefesh. When we're mistapik if something is Pikuach Nefesh, are we Michal Shabbos? Why? Okay, and here too. One second. There's not Pikuach Nefesh. Here, if this is the correct thing to do, so then it's not Navera. This is what you're supposed to be doing. I know you're looking at mathematically that's Chil Shabbos. But if the reason, if the shaila is, it's a hard shaila, the shaila is, let's do Chil Shabbos to prevent lots of other Chil Shabbos in the future. So it's a good shaila. Which one should you do? It's not like you have a Vaday and a Suffolk. They're both Sveikas now. It could be a Suffolk that this is Mechuyiv to do, and there could be a Suffolk that this is Mechuyiv to do.
That's
the same book. They're saving
you. Here, you might get it to get closer.
Exactly. Which? We're asking him. No, that's my left neighbor. I'm talking about him. He has a shayla. He walked over to you. He wants to know, should I do this or should I do this? We're talking about what you should do. Forget about, you're breaking one to tackle, this is a vada and that's a suffix. No, we're mamish mistapagam. We don't know which one to do. If this is going to change him, the right thing to do is be Michal Shabbos. Why? Because it's a good thing. Why is it a good thing to be Michal Shabbos? Because you're going to become a Yid. So it's not... I'm not saying it's the exact same. I'm using logic right now. Then? You're asking if I have a Raya or logic? We went to Rayas we have. Logic? Okay. Lamaisa. Let's appreciate for the moment this is good advice for the person. And every time you give advice to someone, we don't really know. We're not really sure. We have to try to give them good advice. How many times the more tricky the advice gets, you know, the lower your percentage gets. How many times do you give good advice? And how many times do you give bad advice and you really send someone really bad advice. We try to keep our numbers, you know, 60, 70, 80%. No? The more tricky the question is, Abraham, what's your percentage of giving good advice and bad advice? It's hard, it's hard.
It's good actors are more appropriate, less shiny. Yeah. 80-year-old couple, they're gone for Shabbos. They fly to Kelowna.
Whatever.
Like,
have you ever left? It's fast as well. He said they're 80 years old, they should only be gone.
Yeah?
What's the chance of a car going to
be
there? Let's also invite them. Forget about telling them. If you're not, they're going to invite them.
Yeah. Yeah, he's consistent with this. Yeah. We also got down to 77-year-old, and yeah, he wouldn't do it either. It's like, come on, you know the person already. Okay, now.
You're talking about me.
Okay. So everyone's struggling with that. This is a very difficult decision to make, like all advice. Because on one hand, if this is going to be good for him on Shabbos, he's mechuyev to be mechal Shabbos and kam for Shabbos. You don't have an iser of lifnei iver. And this is great advice, and he comes to Shabbos, and Mezat Hashem will be on his road to Yiddishkeit. If he doesn't need Shabbos, it's also for him to do. It's also for you to advise him. We have Lifnei Iver, Misayeya, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva. He says you're also a Mesis. What's a Mesis? A Mesis and Madiach? Generally, we see Mesis. He says, Mesis we find only by Avodah Zarah. If you encourage someone, you advise someone to do Avodah Zarah, you're a Mesis. So Dr. Maisha, he says, yeah, that's Le'inyin. By Avodah Zarah, that's when you also Mechuyev Misa. A Mesis is a Oynish V'deyodam by Avodah Zarah. But the concept of Mesis applies anytime you encourage someone to do an Avera. He says, you're a Mesis. So it's a tough situation. If you're a Pesik, you're really in a... Should you encourage this person for Yiddishkeit, or are you a Mesis? Sometimes you have to deal with the shaylas. It's a tough shayla. And if we go Sufik and Badai and Mesis and this and that, go to a different profession. Not Kiruv.
What percentage of the Kiruv to work?
The phrase that Rebecca was always using, a shot in the dark is not enough. No. At least I'm giving you enough of the site exactly with the line. You have to hear each case scenario, and sometimes it's a very hard shikul, and that's where it's a tough shikul. You know, I'll give you a different case. Just maybe you could appreciate this. It's also a shayar. In Eish HaTorah, and the Makar of Kir Mechaikim, they come into Eish, they're on fire. And they just learned that they're packing on the mitzvahs and packing on everything, and they're coming and they're davening Shachris, Mincha, Meiriv, Mavish, 2 hours Shmoneses, right? So Rav Berkowitz will call them into the office. And they'll say, I see, it's beautiful, you come in Shachris, Mincha, Meiriv. Pick one. You're only allowed to come in here in Eish, you're only allowed to come to the Beis Medrash or to the Beis Knesset. You're only allowed to come to Shul for one tefillah. The other two tefillahs, you're not allowed to be in here. I don't want to see you. You can pick one tefillah. Why is he doing that? Because we have a lot of experience that people, if they come too quick and too fast, they burn out. So strategically, to get them from in 3-4 years from now, they have to start with one tefillah. If they start with a 1 hour Shemayna Esrei for all three tefillahs, we know the odds are that in 3 to 6 months they're going to be burnt out and done. So it's funny, you're taking a big responsibility. Tell them, do not daven mincha. Do not daven meir. If you're telling a yid, he's in the Beis Knesset, he's davening like a murdik, he's on fire. Who knows what his tefillas of being poil in Shemayim? And you're telling him, get out of here. Do not daven. Are you okay with that? Why? We told the guy not to daven. His mom is being poil. What? So good, we don't look at these things. We're looking at the advice. The advice is very good advice. You're telling the person, let me tell you how to get frum. I want you to be frum. Chanuch lanar, alpi darkai. Why? What's the end of the pasuk? Gamki askin. What's Gamki askin? That means the whole point of chinuch is not to get him to do mitzvahs now. The point of chinuch is so when he's older, he will be on the path. Now chinuch, it starts at 4 years old, continues until they're 16. When they're 38, still this chinuch. 77, 82, wherever you are. There's a path that if wherever you're holding, you're going to start taking on too much at one time, too quick, too fast, you're going to collapse. Mimela, there's wherever you're holding at that point of life and that age, there is a strategy and a way to take on more, and that you'll grow from it. Let me say it just a different way, a totally different way, which is a little bit more unique way. There's something called prika and there's something called te'ina. When an animal has a load, if it's too heavy, you're pyrik. If they could carry more, you're tayin, you put on more. If a person is walking, you know, he's struggling with Torah mitzvahs, he's struggling. He's barely making it, he's handling, and you're telling him, oh, but you also have to do this, and you have to do that, and you start being toying on him, you start putting things on him. What's going to happen? He's going to collapse. The other way around. Let's say a person is fine, good. He's hanging, but he's saying, no, this is going to be too hard, this is not good for you, so you stop being pyrrhic. What are you being pyrrhic? You're being pyrrhic all. You're encouraging him to be pyrrhic all. So we're always stuck. What do you do? Should you be pyrrhic someone? Should we make prika centers? You know, there are people that are struggling. We should know they're struggling, and they're depressed, and they have, you know, they feel hypocritical, two-faced, phonies. They feel, well, yeah. So, should we unload them, make them a little lighter, and make their life more geschmack? No, you don't have to do that. They're walking around feeling guilty their whole life, they're not this rash. So there should be prika centers. However, if you bring into the prika center someone that doesn't need it, then you're being pyrical. This is chinuch everywhere, across the board, from kids to teenagers to young adults to Rashi Koyel at risk. on all levels. On all levels. You have to figure out what a person can handle and how is he going to grow in a healthy way, an appropriate load. The ikur is that we should grow bigger. So, in Hanami, it's a tough position to be in. Advice is always a tough position to be in. The worst thing is when you really mess up and you give someone bad advice and you know you hurt them, but you try. So sometimes you want to run away and never give advice again, never help someone again, but we're here in the world. Okay, getting back to our Shaila. This will be as clear. We got at least the lines closer. Any questions before we go back to the Kumkum Shaila? Kumkum. So what did the person do with the kumkum? He went and he mistakenly turned it on. So what's going to be good advice for him? We're not talking about Lif Neiver anymore. So what's good advice for him? What should he do? He should turn it off. No? But let's go Dan. What? Okay, let's Dan. I don't know, because even with Chazan, because you're saying it's Seir someone else living there. Soyser also, the Chazanish says it's the Raisa, or that's also Soyser Shalayavanas Livnais? Because it's not really hurting him. See, the binder, even are you sure? Because that's a discussion even within the Chazon Ish, when you're being seiser, when you're breaking a current, is that going to be at the Raisa level or the Rabbanon level? Bipashtus, if you turn on the kumkum by mistake, the water is going to boil. So to prevent yourself from a shogeg d'oraisa, which is a chatos, you should do a derabanan. What's a derabanan? Turn off the electricity. Turning off the electricity is bipashtus going to be a derabanan. What's a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa? Stam kibui is a melacha shein tzricha l'gufa. It's going to be a less level than a shogeg on a chatos. Bipashtus. So you should turn it off. No? Is this a good application of the Shulchan Aruch? Someone turns on the kumkum by mistake, turn it off. On Shabbos. You got about 10 seconds to figure this out. You know, it's very hard. No, not here. I'm saying when it happens, l'maisa, what? Now, if you spill out the water, it really depends. And you have to know a little bit in the mechanics of a kumkum. What you might have done, especially, there are different kumkums. There's one that, let's go with the one that the element is in the water. If you spill out the water, the element's going to get red hot very quick. Also, either you're going to cause it to turn off anyway very quick, or it will get red hot very quick, and you're being mekariv, hadlaka, or mavir, or some other isurim. So you have to know the technical aspects of a kumkum. I think most kumkums now, they're under. The element is actually under the water. Only the old ones are still in the water. The big ones that are still in the water, the big silver ones, the ones I had over here on the way up the steps, which are almost that one over there. That the element is inside. It's in the water, and it's not getting red hot because the water is preventing it from getting red hot. The moment you empty out all the water, it's going to get red hot. You don't think that's a mitzvah?
Inside those coils.
Yeah.
Right. Second layer is going to get hot. It's the outside metal around it.
And that's cool.
But the filter is getting red hot.
That's fine.
The RAM I've already made will have a keyboard as soon
as you. I'm fine with that. No, he's asking, but I'm doing something worse. He's asking, empty out all the water. I'm saying you're going to end up doing something worse.
You're going to make the rest of the coil red.
Yeah, and that's. It's a derisa. That's Havara. Havara. What? That's grandma. It's grandma. It's Makarov. That's not grandma.
The original.
Bulachain. There are two reasons why someone will turn on a kumkum on Shabbos. Let's go through the sugya. Why would someone turn on a kumkum on Shabbos? Someone in this room.
Should someone else turn it off, or is that person that turned it on by mistake?
That person that turned it on. Someone else cannot turn it off. Unless you want to say it was a night, you were shaking. Okay, so very good. So let's go figure out. We have to break down the action. Why did he turn on the kumkum? We said it was an accident. So it depends what type of accident. If he's walking around, it's a clumsy, and he hit it with his elbow. Well, what is that? That's misasik. What? If that's misasik, that's not a malacha. Then you're not saving yourself from anything. It's a misasik shalem yiskai v'chashavtai. What? We'll get to that in a moment, because that's much more complicated. But let's just go with the elbow. First, let's deal with the step-by-step. If you turn it on with the elbow, that's a misasik. Male, there's no malacha. Turning it off is just going to compound the issue. It's not like kids. You know, when kids turn on the light, they think if you quickly turn it off, then it makes things better. You undid what you did. What happens is when you turn on a light, you over light. When you turn it off, you're not making things better. Now you turned off a light. So, if you're not making anything better just because... So, if someone did a misasek, and a chanami, just leave it on. So, you did a misasek. Either bishul is going to happen. That's a malacha of misasek, which is not a malacha. It's not your responsibility. Good, bishul happened. If it was a shaygeg that someone got confused, they wanted to make coffee and they turned it on, the shaygeg. What? It depends. Let's not get into the Riki Vega. Misasek Shalem Miskam Chashavta. If there's a Ptur carbon, is it also maybe an Issa Drabanan or not? But the worst you're going to get is an Issa Drabanan anyway. So to make it, to do another Issa Drabanan to save this. What? Yeah. Yeah, according to Riki Vega, it says it's straight out. He was the one that's Mechadish as Issa Drabanan. Everyone else holds that that it's nothing.
You can use the water?
What?
Use the water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if it was shaykh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's go. Let's stay out of Maaseh Shabbos for the moment. Mashaygain, if it was a shaygig, then a denavad. You should save yourself. So now we had a case in the middle. What about if someone just spacing out? That was the word. Spacing out and turned on the kumkum. So what is that? So I'll change the case a little. Where there, we'll give you. If someone's walking in the middle of the night, he's walking to the bathroom, and he just flips on the lights. And then he wakes up. What is that? Is that misasek? Or is that shaygig? And then afkamina would be if you let her read a magazine now and then in the bathroom, right? Kosher. Oh, there are none. Okay. What? Sorry, do math. Yeah. Trigonometry. So what is that? Is that misasek or shaygig? So they want to tie an instinct in a way of, like, it's a matter of sleepwalking. It's something that's instinctly, that will be misasek. You're not mechamed to do anything at all. So we'll be masking. That case will be misasek. It's very hard to say it's instinct that when you walk into a kitchen, you turn on the kumkum for coffee. That's not instinct. I wanted to make a coffee, I just forgot where I was holding. I forgot it was Shabbos. That's shaygig. That's a classic case of shaygig. So you're right. Spacing out, it really depends what. It's very hard to be spacing out to that level that we're going to call it misasek in the kitchen. But by a light, then we'll do that. Bekitzer. If it's misasek, you shouldn't turn it off. If it's shaygig, you should turn it off. Let's just... One more prat. The water in a kumkum, generally, that water has already been boiled once, no? No? That depends. I'm asking Metzius. Not Metzius. Sometimes, when no? When in the world do you have water in a kumkum that wasn't boiled? You forgot to turn it on. Okay, that's a weird case. You forgot to turn it on before Shabbos, you remembered on Shabbos. That's amazing. What? Happens all the time. Thank you, Mom. Well, let's deal with the situation before we go turning off our kumkums on Shabbos. Let's try to figure out what is the malacha. The malacha is bishul. Is there bishul over here? Well, it depends. Generally, okay, you could have if you have that rear case, yes. If you have the rear case that the water was not mavushal, then avada. This is an application that turned off the kumkum. If the water was mavushal already, I is cold now, so this would be totally the machlekes. You guys did learn shenuchas, yeah? No one? Okay, everyone knows. Come on. This is on the Shabbos. You guys gotta know this. It's a machlekes if we say bishal acha bishal belach. If we're going to say bishal acha bishal belach, say nechanami, you're preventing yourself from a malacha diaraisa. If we say ain bishal acha bishal belach, so then there's no malacha. And Mamela, don't turn it off. So we'll be telling that machlekes. We'll be telling machlekes rishonim. What are we passing like? What? Are we passing lechumra?
Ask it to go lechumra.
Very good. But there's a big difference. Passing lechumra or there's a chumra ba'alma is a very big difference. You can't use a chumra ba'alma to now do another avera. So if you're going to go with the Shulchan Aruch, he passes yesh bishul acha bishul belach and echanami. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you should turn off the kumkum because you're going to save yourself from bishul. According to the Ramah seems to say, Pashas in the Ramah, he seems to say, Me'ikir adin, ein bishul acha bishul belach, we are machmir, and Mamela, that's where we come to our middle case. In Hilchos Shabbos, we know that something that's not mitzvah and legamri will say that you're that it's mutter to put back onto a fire if you're not being over chazar and other things. So we have something in the middle. Where does that come from? That's something that's not mitzvah in legamri. We say in bishalach bishal balach. We say because really mikra din is in bishalach bishal balach legamri. But it's good to be machmer and mele will machmer in some way that as long as it's not mitzvah in legamri, then it didn't lose its original heat and didn't lose its original melacha. Lamaisa, according to the Ramah, pashtus mikra din we say in bishalach bishal balach and mele if you turned on a kumkum bishoygeg. You're still not being mevashal, so don't go turning it off. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you have to turn it off. So be machalikus alachayre. There'll be a difference between bnei svard and bnei ashkenaz. If a svardi by mistake he turns on the kumkum on Shabbos right away, he should turn it off. If Ashkenazi turns on the kumkum b'Shabbos by mistake, he should leave it on because according to him he's not doing the malacha. You could argue and say maybe even bnei svard. The Lamaisa is a machlekes, who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I think we covered some part of the sugya. It's 1 o'clock. It's been amazing. Thank you so much for listening. You've been a great crowd.